are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Peary, good morning to you.
Good morning, thank you, and how are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor Peary. I hope that the morning has been good to you so far.
It has, it really has. I was taking some time to rest after a long travel yesterday, but it's been good.
Ah, fantastic. You traveled safely, though.
Did, I really did, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Pastor Peary, we're talking about boys, and we really want to actually just zoom in for the next, 30 minutes or so. Educating boys about healthy relationship, which is actually not only essential for their individual well-being, but also contributes to the creation of positive, equitable, and respectful communities. Also, it lays a groundwork for future generations to build connections based on understanding, empathy, mutual respect, and also making sure that they are well-rounded individuals. So let's talk about this. Why is it crucial for boys to receive education on fostering healthy relationships from a young age?
Before I get into it, can I just say a quick prayer?
That's all right. Okay? That's all right. Let's go ahead.
Father, please order our conversation. Please order my words and give us direction. Everything we are trying to learn is best learned from you. And so I ask that you give us that direction. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So Proverbs gives us the idea, train up a child in the way he should go, mm-hmm. and when he old he will not depart from it, right? Mm-hmm. So we start from there, just understanding that it is best this training when children are young. There are some parents who would rather wait for I'm waiting for my child to be able to understand these things, but you find that when you wait that long, you get to a place where the child has already gone through the concrete stage and some things have already become set. They've already become set in their ways, such that to teach them anything different is now having to make them unlearn what they used to know and learn something different. So it's best to teach these things from a young age. And I guess picking up from what we were talking about on Monday, if a man or if parents start these things early on in their own life, it means that by the time children are coming along, these are disciplines they've already developed for themselves, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. children can pick them up from there.
Now, I think that you have. I want us to zoom into boys specifically, especially in as far as healthy relationships is concerned. Now, what you are raising is quite important because it talks about training up a child the way they would go. So, talking about God's ways, etc., etc. However, I do actually want to you to talk to us about relationships, healthy relationships. Because boys at a bigger age then become prone to abusing spouses, etc., etc., and it would seem that lack of educating them on healthy relationships, being able to, for instance, accept that a no is a no, you can't get it now, boy, you must wait, etc., etc. What's the benefit there, really?
So Numbers chapter 14, verse 18, I want to use that scripture that says, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving the iniquity and transgression, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. To some extent, some of these things you've highlighted, when the child is prone to abusing a spouse, and maybe even before abusing a spouse, it's just abusing a girlfriend, a partner. Some of these are ills that are generational patterns, because nobody took the responsibility to correct it at some point.
Yeah.
And so... One, it gives us a much healthier society, a much healthier church, because the family unit is the smallest unit in society, and it's also the smallest unit in church. So where boys are taught differently, it will give us a much healthier society, really. Mm-hmm. It will give us a much healthier church. It will give us a much healthier world overall, because these children have been taught. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I must admit that breaking these patterns, these generational patterns mm-hmm. that we see passed down, is not easy, right? And so it's not a preferred route that people take.
Yeah.
People would prefer just continuing with how things are. And if you remember when God calls Moses, and Moses goes to Pharaoh and tells him, God says, let my people go. Pharaoh doesn't say, oh, yay, God has said, let my people go, so I'm going to let them go.
Yep.
He says, ah, you must be bored.
Mm, mm.
I will load you with more work. I will make your life even harder. So then that the enemy makes it harder for us when we try and break patterns. Mm-hmm. And that's where some people stop, because it becomes a lot harder to do life. But it's worth it, because maybe you're not doing it for yourself, but the generations that are coming after you. So it's very, very important that we teach the boys coming along, you know, how to help relate healthily mm-hmm. with people,
yeah.
how to have healthy boundaries, how to make good decisions,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
make them aware that decisions have consequences, and so they must properly evaluate what they're about to do, considering the consequences. Make them aware that there are blessings and curses as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Yeah.
So that when they are beginning to behave, they are behaving in such a way that glorifies God, but also sets them up, like we were talking on Monday, to be able to pass down a legacy of faith when they are older.
Mm-hmm. Now, thank you for that, Pastor. Now, how do effective communication skills enhance, boys' ability to navigate relationships, you know, both personally and professionally? Now, we may think that communication skills is just about being able to talk, to say hello, etc. But we know that communication skills go beyond that, and so we want to just check the effective communication skills for boys. How does it help them to navigate relationships? And I think this is important because, it's very easy because, you know, there's many things loaded on boys, you know, testosterone and all of those things to end up raising their voices and shouting and all of that. And so let's talk about effective communication skills and how it helps them navigate relationships.
You know, I had an experience recently where I went to my, something happened in my life. And so I went to my parents to have a conversation about it. And when I opened up about what I was experiencing, the reaction I got from my father was as though I was the most horrible person in the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when he was done talking, I asked, can I speak? And he says, yes. And I said, you see, I came to you because I figured I was coming to another human being who's made mistakes before. But I am now aware that you've never made mistakes.
Mm.
So this was a mistake for me to come. As soon as I said that, you should have seen how his face changed.
Mm.
Effective communication gives young men and boys a platform to grow through life.
Yeah, yeah.
They can have somebody they look up to who's made mistakes, who's done all these things in life, and then they're able to then listen to this individual and say, I know what comes from that person. I can trust because I can relate, having heard what they've been through and where they are now. So effective communication in that sense helps young men to navigate, because listen, the beauty of life is that when children come in, they're not coming to a world that's never been habited before. Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. They're coming into a world that has been habited before. Paul says a cloud of witnesses who have been through what we're going through before, right? So when they come in, they're coming into a father who has so many years ahead of them. So let the father be able to properly communicate with the young people so that they can navigate this minefield. Because life is like a minefield. If you don't know where to step, it blows up and you lose a limb. And now you have to live life without a limb. And it's not that you were born without one.
Mm.
You lost it because you made a terrible decision at some point. And maybe you made a terrible decision because there's nobody to give you guidance.
Mm.
So in essence, it is beautiful to have effective communication, especially between an older generation, to teach the children first, and then the children to not be able to effectively communicate with the adults that have opened themselves up to them and say, hey, this is what I'm experiencing, and I don't know if it's okay. And for these children to have a safe space to be able to talk. And I like to say that when these children come, we must receive them. When these young people come, we must receive them and see ourselves in them and remember that we were young too and we needed guidance too. So effective communication really just does help people navigate. When I see my father relate to my mother, then I'm able to say, oh, okay, so I think I can relate.
I think that's a very important point you're making, because you're talking about, you know, also an example, leading by example, teaching by example, because you are saying that when you see your how your father relates to your mom, which means that there is, you know, role playing there, so that there is a role model, you know, a male role model that the boys can look up to, eh?
True. You know, the body has got these mirror neurons, right, that will see somebody do something and they'll try and mirror what's being done. So it's just important to provide a good example. If I find that I am not relating well with my spouse, and I realize that there's a world watching me, the world being my children, I must seek help to improve how I'm relating with my child, because my child is going to, and I don't want them to see the way I am being with my spouse. And if it's not good for them to take that as the gospel truth to go and do it too.
Yeah.
That sense, right? So it's important that when I realize that something isn't going well, I must seek help. If I'm going to talk to male friends, let me talk to male friends. If I'm going to talk to a professional, let me talk to...
Yeah.
...about some children, get a good example.
Right. I think
lies that has been told is that...
Yes, Pastor?
Sorry, I was saying one of the biggest lies that has been told is that boys... And men have carried on, you know, not crying, because they've been told boys don't cry.
Yeah.
And yet we are emotional. We must be able to cry.
True. Yeah. Very true. Very true. In fact, it leads us to our next point. What role does empathy play in fostering healthy relationships, and why is it important that skill of empathy should be developed by boys in particular?
So that example I gave you about my father. My father was in the military. He retired, the general, and I think a little bit of that was eroded, that empathy thing, because he gets frustrated with civilians. And so when I called him back to his humanity in that conversation, I was calling him to empathize. What I was actually asking him to do is, you're human. You've made mistakes before, and I'm coming to you as a man who's made a mistake. So can you advise, speak to me, or can you see me as a man who's made a mistake? Right. So it's important that first of all, the boys receive empathy, because then you're modeling it for them. They can see what empathy looks like and how they can apply it in their lives. That will do, because in doing that, you're actually adding to the legacy of faith, because what you're now is that you're providing the next generation of a family a man who is empathetic, because you've shown him an example of empathy. That's why that's the role that empathy plays, because when like after my father and I had that conversation, I now heard and understood. I now started to feel seen, because that's what empathy does, right? That's the role that it plays in fostering healthy relationships, where I can now be vulnerable, because now you can see me. And then it's also important, because then it will benefit from a father or from a man who is empathetic and he hasn't just learned it the previous night, but he has known it for a number of years.
I think it's very important what you're mentioning again. It comes to that, a point about role modeling, because, I mean, how else is a boy going to see and know what sympathy is about? Because sometimes, yes, we can teach as much as we can, but if we train, which is a difference, by the way, that you would have to just get into between training, because the verse that you opened up with was training up a child as opposed to teaching a child, right?
Yeah.
Now,
and, it's actually also
yes. Go ahead.
That there's a difference, empathy and empathy.
Mm.
Sympathy will see a situation from a distance and say, "Oh, it's bad there."
Mm.
But empathy then comes down into the situation with you. Bad here,
yeah.
Because I can relate.
Yeah. Now. How can teaching boys about respecting personal boundaries contribute to the creation of a culture of consent and mutual respect? I mean, we're asking this question because we see quite a number of cases of abuse. The world is currently going through the 16 days of activism against abuse on women and children. So respecting personal boundaries should, in my view, be something that should be taught to boys specifically. So how can this teaching create a culture of consent and mutual respect? Does it contribute to that?
It does. And you see, scripture says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness to the knowledge of him who's called us. And then on top of that, we told, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And as a counterculture, young men are taught that, you are supposed to pursue. You don't give up. You don't stop at a no. You must push. But they're not given wisdom to understand that there are spaces in which you are to push and others where you're supposed to let it go. It's the same thing where you're told, a tomato is a fruit. So if you leave it at that, then the person is going to present you with a fruit salad that has got tomato in it, and you will not like. So young men have knowledge, but they need wisdom. Friend. So how can we teach, how can teaching boys about respectful boundaries, get the yard, for example, is your boundary. You do what you want to do within your yard. If you want to plant petunias, you plant petunias. If you want to plant roses, you plant roses.
Mm.
And your neighbor is free to do what they want to do. But if your neighbor throws their dead dog in the corner of the yard and the stench starts to affect you, then you can go and knock and say, "Hey, neighbor, your mess inside there is disturbing me." And if they don't want to respond, you are welcome to go to the police and involve the police and all of that. Why I'm using this example is young men need to understand what is their boundary.
True.
And then teach them to respect another person's boundary.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to do that. And actually teach this, it involves a whole cultural overhaul.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how to take a no from our children. We actually call it disrespectful. What we don't realize we are doing is that we are not teaching these young people proper boundaries. Because now when they are old and they come to a younger person and they tell that person, "Do this," they are taking it from what they've seen. "You're supposed to respect me. I'm an elder to you. Do it." Or, "You're supposed to respect me, I am a man. Do it." We must teach this, and it's an uncomfortable thing for us to try and do because it will be changing what we also know. So we must, young, respect their no. And if you feel like their no is a little unreasonable, reason with them. So come now, let us reason together. So you reason with them and help them understand. But as much as possible, try and train them in developing boundaries and respecting other people's boundaries. So I do this sometimes when kids are around, when my nephews and all of that are around me and I'm on a call.
Yeah.
I will pause the call for a few seconds and say, hey, I'm on a call. Can I talk to you afterwards?
Mm.
That is establishing boundary. When I'm on the phone, you don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to teach that to our children young if we're going to get any success. But we need to be ready for the uncomfortable experience that comes with, because we'll be changing what's been done differently long time.
Well, let's go towards the conclusion of our conversation. Thank you so much for these insights, Pastor. I think that you are giving us quite some beautiful gems here, you know, as we develop our boys. Now, in what ways does education on healthy relationships help boys develop conflict resolution skills? And why are these skills valuable in various aspects of life? And I think that's extremely crucial, but the conflict resolution. Please talk to us about that.
So, you know, this topic is a beautiful one because it has the potential of changing culture, right? It has the huge potential of changing cultures. When in the last question, before I come to this, and in the last question, when we're talking about teaching boys about respecting personal boundaries, we must teach boys that no is a complete sentence.
Yes, yes.
And I know that we're still in a society where some women will say no and mean yes, right? But a well will hear no and respond to that no.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a young lady that's thinking to play games and say no and want him to push a little harder, she will be disappointed because he won't push hard because he has heard the no.
Yes, yes.
So that's why the potential of changing cultures, because now to effectively communicate and stop using these subtle communications that we've become so used to. So in what ways can education on healthy relationships help boys develop conflict resolution skills? It is that when you have healthy boundaries, when you've learned to effectively communicate, they to navigate a conflict. Instead of throwing hands, I can communicate, you are getting on my nerves right now, so I'm going to walk away, because if I stick around, I'm going to throw my hands. That's effective communication, and I'm walking away. If I get, say, for example, I get on a call and the person on the other side of the call is shouting instead of just talking to me, I can say, we can't continue talking as long as you keep shouting at me. And if that person does not desist from shouting, I can cut my line because I have communicated a boundary. I can't continue talking to you for as long as you're shouting at me because I can't hear you. So then you begin to develop proper skills in terms of communication and in terms of walking away that adds to your emotional intelligence, away from a situation, having communicated your boundary. How does that then, how is that valuable in other aspects of life? Is that you can work in a high stressful environment, not be emotional, because you've developed emotional intelligence. You're able to communicate your boundary. You're able to effectively communicate what you want or walk away from situations. You become a much more valuable member of a corporate because you can communicate. People who've got good communication skills. And if you show up in a space, have that, and you're a valuable member of the team, you're probably the guy we want you to send to a meeting because his impeccable skills in terms of with conflict with clients. And that just didn't come from anywhere. It came from home, how to resolve this conflict healthily.
Yeah. Very, very important. Now, as we... Oh, Pastor. Hello, Pastor. Pastor Piri.
Network.
Hi, Pastor Piri. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Ah, fantastic. Well, Pastor Piri, we want to now close off our conversation with you this moment. In literally the next minute, what is the one important skill that boys will take literally their whole lives?
That's a very good one.
Oh, Pastor Piri.
Kill that boy.
Hello, Pastor Piri. Pastor Piri, can
I
you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Oh, fantastic. There, I can hear you. Yes, please go ahead.
So I think that fostering healthy relationships is a lifelong journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're always meeting different people. Meeting the different characteristics. So that's something that one would take their whole lives learning.
Mm-hmm.
Just reading people.
Yeah.
And see what reaction that can take a lifelong experience.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor Piri, I'm so grateful that you have, given us some beautiful, beautiful things to learn here. I think that it's extremely important for us as parents and out there, somebody listening out there who's a parent, whether you're parenting a girl and a boy, very important that we give our children skills, particularly because we see the, some disparities between girls and boys in terms of power, influence, etc., etc. They say that it's a man's world, and so men become very insensitive, become abusive, etc., etc. So that focus is very important, that we go an extra mile ensuring that boys are wholesome, boys are respectful, boys understand boundaries, etc., to create a better world for everyone. Eh?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for joining us. Blessings to you.
Thank you for having me. Blessings to you too.
Thank you.
Amplify your mid-mornings with praise and worship on Mid-Morning Empowerment every weekday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.